Hey everybody, welcome back to Game Time. I'm your host and coaching teammate, Shauna Griffiths, and I am here for another conversation with an impactful leader who happens to be a dear friend of mine for a really long time. Megan Myers is joining us. She and I have been bonded over the years. We're both University of Michigan grads. We both worked in the NBA family. We were in WISE, Women's Sports and Events. New York City. Now we're both back in Michigan. And I had to wear this shirt today. Everyone watches women's sports because we also share a love for women's sports. And you are doing amazing things. And I wanted you on the show for so long. So thank you again so much for coming on and for being the leadership athlete that you are, because that is another thing in common. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. I mean, honestly, we do have a long history, both rooted in sports and, you know, our education foundation, but we've both been interesting places as a result of that kind of launching pad. So yeah. I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, I actually never even told you this, but I've always just really admired and been inspired by you, because I would always see you making these big moves and going to places and making big impact. Again, the NBA. Then you went on to Amex. Now you're at Indeed, leading in a global capacity. And you always do it with such quiet confidence and grace. It's so awesome to see. So help root the audience in your career journey and what has got you to the point today where you have a huge focus on leading the AI transformation at Indeed.
Yeah, it's interesting. About 10 years into my career, I got really good advice from someone that said, use the 60-40 rule. Which is every time you take a new job, 60% you can do in your sleep, and 40% is either grabbing a new tool for your toolkit or strengthening a muscle that might be weak. And so I'll take you back a little bit. So like any kid that was a big sports fan and wanted to start a career in sports, I started in ticket sales. It's a very common story, right? But I graduated, I actually started my job at the Detroit Pistons in Shaq before I graduated. It was 2007 and I had a BlackBerry before all my friends. And I thought it was very cool. But from there, I went on to Madison Square Garden, where I worked for the Liberty. You know, a red thread through my career also has been, I've worked for leaders that gave me opportunities and believed in me, even maybe before I proved I could do it. And so our good friend, Amy Shear, believed in me and helped me grow there. I moved from ticket sales to partnerships. And I really like the brand storytelling side of things. So how a brand will tell their story through brand partnerships, sponsorships, activations. And so I had the opportunity to actually go to the league, as you mentioned, and work on the WNBA, the D League, which I had the opportunity to rebrand to the G League when that sponsorship happened. What a storytelling opportunity. You literally rebrand a league with your name. And it was Gatorade. And also worked as the brand manager for the W, worked on a couple NBA campaigns, but again, had great leaders and mentors that believed in me, and Hillary Shev and Laurel Richie. And then I was at the point in my career, was in my late 20s, that I was deciding if I wanted to go get my MBA, and decided I would go get a job at a company that I know would pay me to teach me my MBA. So I decided to go to American Express. That has a high level of rigor around analytics. And that was that 60-40 rule, right? That was the 40 that was missing from my toolkit as a marketer. I could make sexy campaigns, but I needed more rigor in measurement. So I went to American Express, and that's a really cool culture of movement there. So every 18 to 24 months, you're expected to change roles. And it creates really strong, well-rounded marketers and GMs, really. So when I left American Express, I was in a chief of staff role, which is not a place I ever thought I'd find myself. But what it did is there were two really important things to me in that role. One was I love fixing things. So operational processes, optimizing operational processes, and culture. I really believe as a leader that we are only good as our people and what we invest in our people. And American Express is a company that does a really great job investing in not just career growth, but mental health, well-being, all of that stuff. So I was not necessarily looking, to be honest. And a recruiter reached out to me about Indeed and a strategy and operations role, which is where I sit now. And I took that 60-40 rule and I looked at the opportunity and it had a couple things that were opportunities for me to add to my toolkit. One was, it's a truly global brand. We are active in over 20 global markets. The scope of the team that I'm on now is really broad. It's the full marketing ecosystem, from research and insights, in-house creative, brand management, brand strategy, brand media, social media, measurement. So there were a couple components of that scope that I hadn't really touched, specifically brand media. So I knew, all right, let me take the operational strengths that I have and apply it to a larger scope and then get to learn at the same time. So so that's where I found myself about 3.5 years ago. Again, Red Thread, a leader that gives me opportunity. Jennifer Warren is our global head of brand and creative. And about 18 months ago, she came to me and said, so there's this emerging thing called AI. And I think it's going to impact marketing. And would you like to be my partner on this? And I said, absolutely. So I did not see AI coming, as most people, I would say the common folk, did not see coming. But what the opportunity really was, the journey we've been on, is something I've never experienced. And it's not just about adopting new technology. This isn't like when email came out, right? This is about one of the biggest shifts we're all going to see in our careers. AI is going to transform not just what we do and what tools we use, but fully transform how we work. And marketing is going to be a huge impacted industry. And so it's really exciting to be at the forefront of that.
It's so incredible to hear you say this, partly because I remember when it wasn't too long ago, it was like a year and a half ago-ish. You'll know the timing on this. But I was asking you what you were up to, and you were saying Indeed is really taking on AI, and we have a goal to have everyone using it in this calendar year. And I thought, wow, that's aggressive at the time, not in a bad way, in a good way, but to see how far you've come with it. And now you're rolling it out like at scale for this global brand at such a pivotal time. Talk about a moment for you, for the company. It's pretty incredible, but I want to get more into that. I really want to be able to dive into AI in general and hear from you what it's like to do all that. But before we get there, I think too many people think of it as just a job site. I know through you that it's so much more. So from a practical standpoint, how should we, the listeners, be thinking about what Indeed is for consumers, for companies?
Thank you for the opportunity as a brand person. Yeah, so our mission has remained the same, and it is steadfast in that we help all people get jobs. That is what is it? It's what we wake up thinking about every day, and it's what powers us through the workday. But the experience has evolved a lot. We're no longer just, as you mentioned, a job search engine. We are actually the world's leading matching and hiring platform. We have over 600 million job seeker profiles in more than 60 countries across 28 languages that come to Indeed every day to apply for jobs. I mean, this is a crazy stat to me. Someone gets a job on Indeed every 3 seconds. So I think that's what we're known as a job site, but the breadth of offering that we have as a two-sided marketplace is what we're on a mission to really change perceptions in the market about. So in 2022, our brand externally started talking about being a dual-sided marketplace. And I think about, you know, job seekers and employers. And we introduced the World Can Work Better campaign. And what it really is job seekers and employers turn to Indeed for really fundamentally different reasons. One seeking opportunity, the job seeker, and one seeking talent, the employer. And we really believe that when people looking for better work connect with people offering it, the world can work better. So from an innovation standpoint, I would say we've always had AI embedded in our products and our matching technology. The thing about AI is it's now consumer facing, right? It's always been around from a product and development standpoint and engineering standpoint, but it's now consumer facing. And so our big innovation is really that we're shifting from quantity, because we've traditionally been known about volume, to quality. So our focus is really on matching the right job with the right job seeker faster in a really quality way.
That's great. So I assume that also means that there's upskilling to some degree through the platform that people can do it. Because again, I want to make sure that people are hearing this are like, okay, it's not just for a job. You can also go to it for resources. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Dead on. So yes, what I just explained really was about the product and the functionality, but we really want to be known for as a career companion for job seekers and truly a talent scout or advisor for employers. So if you go to Indeed/Lead or our resources for job seekers, we have tips and tricks and a dearth of information on how to navigate the entire job seeking process or the entire hiring process. Because it's not just a platform. It's not just a matching platform, right? There's so much that goes on outside of that moment of matching that Indeed is here to help navigate for you and with you. And there's a ton of AI technology that's coming out, that is here or is coming out, that is here to help job seekers and employers. So we're also here to coach you and help you navigate all those tools and innovations that are going to support that process.
I remember in one of our conversations, it really stood out to me the way you are also describing that, and you can tell because you remember it, but as you were telling me about how we have an opportunity to look at Indeed as not just a one-time go get a job and move on. And it was like throughout your journey. So whether someone is listening to their early part of their career or no matter where they're in the journey, it's meant to actually provide resources, jobs, all of these things. And the way you just described that, it brought it back to memory. And here's the reason why, because I think that oftentimes the whole job seeking or talent seeking can feel really lonely. And it can feel really frustrating. And it's almost like you sit down in front of the website and you just feel defeated oftentimes before you even, you know, submit your resume or, you know, apply for something. So I think it just is posing this opportunity for us to shift the dynamic. That's why I wanted you to talk about how should we think about it? Because it's literally like our friend in the process, it sounds like. Instead of it feeling so adversarial. I think that's so much of what the whole job process has turned into, a place that feels really adversarial.
Adversarial and almost, you know, there's a lot of puffery that goes on, right?
Yes.
So I think one of the things we're really focused on is amplifying and honing in on your skills, because ultimately the job journey is no longer linear. I mean, it may be for some people, but you see a lot of zigging and zagging these days, especially with a younger generation that are leading with their skills versus their resume or their credentials, right? You can have a strong project management function, and that could lend itself to marketing, to aerospace engineering. Project management is an amazing skill, but it can be applied to multiple industries. So we are trying to help job seekers navigate leading with their skills in a way that's going to help them be successful and kind of break down the barriers in hiring that have traditionally been there, in that this career path is linear and you must go up this way, right? So some of our products, you can see on the Indeed profile that it doesn't necessarily look like a traditional CV or a resume. You know, there's a huge section that we're focused on about adding your skills. And then that helps us, your Indeed profile is gold, right? Because we will be on the back end with our AI technology, pointing you to jobs and matching you to jobs that, based on the job description, match your skills. And so we're working in the background on your behalf with an Indeed profile. It's like an always on kind of career companion or career agent, so to speak. Speaking of agents. So agents are definitely going to play a major role in the future of Indeed and how our magic technology really delivers for job seekers and employers.
Gosh, it sounds so simple and like, wow, of course that should be the way of the matching of the skills. But I think what happens so often is we're just like, well, I'm going to go for this job title, or I'm passionate about this, so I'm going to go for this company. Where if you really actually do think about it the way you described it, you're matching the skills, then it allows you to do kind of what you talked about you did in your journey, which was giving yourself an opportunity to have that 40% where you can figure out, well, what are the skills that you need to add? Because sometimes you're right, in that zigzag element, it's take a role, have an experience that actually helps you round out, which can be kind of a painful experience at times, but it's worth it because that's really the way that you can, you know, propel yourself in new directions. But it's so nice to hear that there's a tool out there that's, again, being helpful in that process. And it allows us to think about it in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, the way I've always approached my career is it's an iterative build, right? Yeah. And to your point, I guess now you're making me realize this. I've kind of navigated my career by building my skills. But yeah, I mean, that is what we are hoping to provide to job seekers. And also on the employer side, give them really well-rounded candidates that are a really strong fit from a skills perspective for the role that they're trying to fill.
So you have this role now where you're really helping to roll out AI at scale in a really big way at the company, but it sounds like you're saying it's been in the product for a really long time. The rollout is more in the day-to-day work and in the consumer-facing experience. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. Like I said, AI has been in our product for years, but once it became consumer-facing, we saw an opportunity to bring that same power inside the business. And I have the privilege of leading it, just to clarify, within marketing. I am not leading it for the company. I have great partners that do that. But we have 450 marketers that we know from our own Hiring Lab data. So Hiring Lab is, we have an economy or economist arm within the marketing organization. And we know from our own Hiring Lab data that sales and marketing is going to be highly impacted. 75% of the skills within the marketing function can be done or contributed to by AI. Think about that, right? 75% of what I do can be done or contributed by AI. And so that really underscores the importance for marketers about adopting AI in their daily workflows to future-proof themselves in their careers. So yeah, to answer your question, I lead it within marketing, and we know how critical it is because it's rooted in data. And what we feel as leaders is crucial is to make sure our marketers are aware, educated, and adopting. And I'm happy to dive into those three pillars, but that's where we laid it out because that's the journey. And it's not just, here's a new technology, use it. It's flipping the script on how are you going to do what you already do? Because the human's always at the center. And I really want to underscore that. We do not believe that AI is going to replace jobs. We believe that someone that maybe knows, and this is a quote from our chief economist, someone that knows AI might, you know. So adopting it now is future-proofing yourself. And ultimately, AI is not replacing humans. It's enhancing creativity. But it is very urgent right now to adopt it.
That's such a great point about the urgency of it. And, you know, I do a lot of consulting work with marketing agencies, advertising agencies. And a lot of times what I've realized is that the brands actually look to the agencies to thinking that they're ahead of the curve on adoption. And that sometimes is the case and sometimes isn't the case. But I think even for yourselves, it sounds like what you're saying is that you understand that. So you're saying like the company is leading in that way so that other people can truly look to you as the early lead in that and learn from you.
Absolutely. Within the marketing sphere, we want to be a brand that leads with AI. And I will say leads with AI responsibly. That is a really important piece to talk about. So we have had responsible AI principles in our product for a long time now. That's not new. But one of the things, and I do think we were one of the first brands to do it, is we actually publicly released responsible AI and marketing principles. Because we know that this is an important topic for humans in general, but marketers, in I want to adopt this technology, but I have concerns about trust and safety. And in launching those principles, we knew that AI responsibility was a challenge, but we wanted to equip marketers with principles and a framework that would help them leverage AI in a way that feels safe and trusted. Because the most paramount piece of all of this is that every single AI-assisted campaign or piece of marketing will never go out the door without human review. The human is always at the center, right? AI can generate, humans can reason. And that's a really important difference. So we are making sure that we are leveraging AI to be faster and more efficient, but we are making sure that we're doing it in a responsible fashion because it's a core principle of our company and how we deliver to our customers.
Yeah, I do want you to get into those three pillars that you mentioned. And the reason why I'm stopping on it right now when you're talking about the safety areas, because I think there's an element of people are aware of AI in general, a lot of people, they're aware of good ways to use it. I think sometimes when people use it and they don't use it responsibly, I think there's a lack of awareness of like, how does this thing actually really operate? And not even knowing what it means to use it irresponsibly in a way. They're just using it. You know, a lot of times we've all learned that way. Listen, you talked about when social media came out. Shit, I launched social media places. I launched email at places, you know? So, but at the time, there wasn't that much of a focus or conversation around all of the responsibility in it and everything. You just were out there playing around with new stuff, right? But I think at this day and age, we're rolling these things out. There is such an increased interest and need for it to be done responsibly, but we have to make it more known. What does that mean? What does it mean to not use it responsibly? Because I think a lot of stuff happens when people, it's just out of lack of awareness.
Well, I mean, I think AI fails are just as important to highlight, right? Yeah. I mean, we held a training yesterday, actually, for all our marketers, and we do these quarterly. So actually, it's more frequent than quarterly. We bring in a thought leader once a quarter from outside the company to talk about AI, and that is normally mapped to what we're hearing. We do a lot of surveys. We do a lot of pulse testing. We do a lot of feedback loops on it. Because the other thing about AI and technology adoption in general is you have to meet people where they are. Not everybody's going to be at this point in the journey, right? So we do a lot of feedback loops, and we make sure that the trainings and the education that we are bringing to our marketers are meeting people where they are. So my point about AI fails is we had a training yesterday, and we had them go through a couple exercises. It was all about prompt engineering and crafting good prompts, because old adage, garbage in, garbage out. It's garbage prompts, garbage results, right? And so there was an image generation exercise, and they said, make an image of this breakout room you're in. And it had breakout spelled wrong. It had people with five fingers, right? So I think highlighting those AI fails is important because it reminds people of the human element that must be involved. You know, you can get lazy with AI. You can get
exactly
with AI. You can say, oh, you know, prompt it, write me an executive leadership recap of this deck, and it spits it out, and you send it off. Woo, that's risky. You better be putting your human touch on it, right? So I think that is one of the cautions that I have around AI, is ensure you do not get lazy or sloppy with it, because there is bias in these models. There's bias in the models. There are just major robot watchouts that humans need to keep in check.
Absolutely. I received a proposal from a company, and it was so obvious to me that they had literally copy-pasted from a ChatGPT of sorts, and halfway through it, and I didn't even finish. And I was so annoyed by it. And it's one, it can be a teaching moment. It's my decision how I want to handle that exact situation. But if you're going to be that lazy when you're trying to actually sell me something, this is not going to cut it. So to your point, let's talk about those fails. Let's show people this is an example of, it might seem obvious that you wouldn't do that, but it is the fast, easy thing to do. And a lot of times to crunch time, to be able to do more in a day, we look for those. And it's just not acceptable.
1000%. And the example you just gave is what is so scary about AI. If it's used irresponsibly, is it erodes trust.
Yes.
As a brand or as human beings that have relationships with each other, there's nothing more paramount than trust. And so it is a powerful tool, but you have to be watching out for the risk. Because if you erode trust, you lose friendships and you lose brand loyalty.
Exactly. Because your personal brand, right, is it exists too, whatever company you're working for. It's to your point, like it takes a long time to build trust, but you can ruin it like that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you said there's 450 marketers, 450, something like that. So practically, what does it look like to roll out a huge AI initiative like this? Like, because we're going to have people who are listening to this who need to do that, have been asked to do that, and don't even know where to start. So just give us an idea of what that actually practically means.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to those three pillars of awareness, education, and adoption, because we spent a long time thinking about this strategy. And the awareness piece is broad. So I'm going to use broad and deep. That's where we're going with this. So awareness is about everyone in marketing being aware of industry trends. What are the innovations in our space? What are other brands doing? And keeping them just the drumbeat of AI. We have now ingrained AI into our culture, but we need to also educate them on how and when to use AI responsibly. And we need to drive tool adoption in the most business critical functions of marketing. So the way I say deep and wide is awareness and is education, and deep is tooling or adoption. So you have your foundational tools, like your ChatGPTs, your Geminis, your Gleans, your Grammarlys, all the stuff that can really make admin tasks more efficient. And then you have, in the function of marketing, some real opportunities to drive efficiency and productivity that are deep. And I see two main areas where those are already being realized. One is creative and content. The creative and content generation tools that are out there are incredible. You used to have a designer working on a banner ad for X number of hours or days, reviews, approvals. Now we traffic it. Now it goes out. Like, this can take weeks. And with some of the tools out there, you can generate 50, 100, 1,000 variations of an image with a different headline, with a different CTA. You can have reviews done, and those generations can take minutes, right? Obviously, the human needs to make sure that they're correct, but those can take minutes. We can have reviews in days, not weeks, and we can publish to different external platforms with a click of a button. So it is unbelievable from a creative and content gen, and we're seeing amazing tools being released every week. VO3 from Google that just came out and made a huge buzz last week. I mean, those are like movie studio feature quality films that are made from a prompt in a matter of hours. It's nuts. So there's some really low-hanging fruit that we're starting to tackle from a Gen AI perspective, specifically within our in-house creative agency. And again, this isn't about replacing creatives. And I know there's a lot of fear and apprehension there, but it's about enabling them to enhance their creativity and not focus on the resizing of a banner ad, because that's done for you by Gen AI. But you can think about much more strategic and big ideas and spend your time doing that versus all the just really basic stuff that Gen AI can pump out. So there's that piece. And then I would say data analysis and democratization. That is a huge opportunity. We have, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, many marketers have data science teams, business intelligence teams, or business insights teams that spend hours manually reviewing, cleaning, analyzing data. That now can be done with AI. You can generate headlines in seconds. You'd say, how was my brand health performing in France in the last 6 months against a competitor? Minutes. You got headlines. So it's pretty incredible in the way it analyzes data. And then the second part of that is democratization. And I think that's really important, because I think AI is going to democratize a lot of things that used to previously only, the keys were only held by an SME, right? So take data analysis. Previously, I wanted to know how my brand health was doing in France in the last 6 months against a competitor. So I'd have to go to the person that owns the data. I'd have to ask them for the analysis. It would take them a couple of days to pull it together. They'd probably put it into a deck that probably took a couple more hours, and then they'd share it with me. I don't even have to go to that person anymore. I can just go to my AI agent, my brand health agent, that I use natural language, and ask it that, and it spits it out for me. Again, not replacing that data scientist. They are now freed up to focus on more strategic things versus me pinging them little questions all the time. So the democratization is going to be a huge unlock, in that we're going to have more people and more marketers that are able to do more things that is enabled by AI.
Yeah. And as you were talking about that, I thought, holy shit, that is also very scary for a lot of people. Because here's the thing, change usually doesn't feel good when it's happening. And it adapting to change also doesn't really feel good, because in the absence of information, we usually start to make up stories. And I think that when I'm talking about absence of information, can a lot of times be when you're in the Wild West with something, there's a lot of information that's not there because we don't know what's going to happen per se each step of the way. We don't know the way you talked about it. I think some people could get scared with that thought of the democratization of it because they're like, well, I've done it that way forever. Well, now what? Well, they're not coming to me anymore asking that. So now how am I going to use my time? Now, there's fear that I'm going to be seen as not useful or people don't know what I'm doing. So I think that really is an area where the fear is. So where it exists or where it can come from. And so I'd love your thoughts about shifting that dynamic to empowerment, perhaps, at the very least, curiosity, so that people who are listening to this can start to shift thinking, perhaps adopt some of the language that you'll share, to take it back internally. And how do you sort of make it through this time of change?
Yeah. So I mentioned that feedback loop. It's a really good question. We heard very clearly the fear that exists of not just replacement or am I going to be passed up? So we addressed the elephant head on. We recently brought in a change management psychologist for all of marketing. We held this awesome session to really address that element of fear that was in the room. And this can be scary. We started the session that way. This is scary. It is coming at you really fast. And, you know, it's funny, given that I have the privilege of leading AI marketing, somebody asked me the other day, like, how do you keep up with it all?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't. I do my best. I mean, right? I'm a radical transparency person, right? So I'm like, I'm not going to fake it and act like I've got it all under control. No, the information and the innovation is happening at such a rapid pace. It's impossible to keep up with it all. But what you do need to do is keep up with what is relevant to your job and what is going to help you move forward and ride this wave, right? Because it's coming, it's here.
Yes.
And so we led our marketers through this session on the psychology of change management and how embracing this revolutionary technology is actually keeping the humans at the center of the world. So just basic advice, but what is AI freeing you up to do that you may have always wanted to do but couldn't get to because of all these administrative tasks that bogged you down, right? What have you been kind of dreaming about that you want to do? This is the time to raise those things because you've got Gen AI doing the low-hanging fruit that you didn't really want to do anyway, right? So now is the time for you to start thinking about what you've always wanted to accomplish that's maybe higher level, that's maybe more strategic. And it's really an opportunity to go to your leader or your management team and say, hey, I've always been thinking about this and I have some capacity now because I'm leveraging AI and I don't have to spend hours writing decks and emails. So it's really an opportunity. And what we hung that entire session on was AI is not your enemy. AI is your superpower. Should you choose to embrace it, right? It's all like mama. Should you choose to embrace it? So the TLDR is it's here. Get on board. Find out how it makes you a more creative person, how it makes you a more efficient person, and run with it, please.
Yeah. So in saying that, do you think that there's an underrated aspect or characteristic of a leader or someone who is in a position to roll this out? Someone's like, am I really up to this?
Yeah, I think we approach this, and many companies have, and many companies still are. We are making the transition. This is not a tooling exercise. This is a change management exercise. We talk about a magic circle because we actually learned about this at a Google CMO AI lab summit that they had. And they talk about how AI is going to transform our full ways of working and who that's really going to take. And this was specific to marketing. Finance, engineering, product, HR, legal. Like this is going to take a magic circle.
Oh,
and
okay.
We are only at the precipice, right? I think we're all focused on tooling. Let's go get the best Gen AI tool out there or agentic tool out there for the business need that we have today that is going to impact business the most. And when I talk about impact business, we have two X and Y axis of criteria. One is the universality, So how broad is the applicability of the tool and the business impact? How much time is it going to save? How much cost is it going to save? How much revenue is it going to add? So that's where we're focusing, is on universal applicability and highest business impact. But we're still just at tooling. We aren't at transforming ways of working. And that's what we're trying to lay the foundation for this year, so we can fully go into transforming ways of working in 2026 and beyond.
Wow. And we're so glad you brought that up, because it begs the question, what is the reality on the time frame to roll out this type of transformation? Because AI is happening this fast, right? It's come upon us. It's here. Just like you're saying, it's only going to get more ingrained in what people are doing and in the different areas of the doings, so to say. But this rolling out that you're talking about, it doesn't happen overnight completely. So give us a little bit of perspective about that.
Yeah. Our journey over the last 18 months, we had basically very minimal AI tools. They were foundational, right? We had ChatGPT access 18 months ago that we gave to employees. And over the last 18 months, we have gone on the journey from foundational tools being rolled out to all Indeedians to identifying the biggest, most impactful use cases in marketing and bringing on, we're probably experimenting or scaling at least 15 to 20 tools right now. And that is a huge undertaking, because think about when you roll out new tools and platforms, you have to educate people, you have to train people, you have to get them used to working differently. So that's where we're at right now. I would also say a cautionary is have patience with AI. Having patience with AI is important, because we're all venturing into territory that has never been explored before. I'll just be honest. We brought on a tool recently, and the contract took longer than I wanted. We'll put it that way. The contract took longer than I wanted, but I had to have patience and understanding that there were lawyers on both sides of the tables writing the agreement that never existed before. And both trying to protect ourselves as being fastidious and compliant companies. And then you also have to have patience with the levels of adoption and the pace at which adoption happens. So yes, AI is moving fast, but I think in order to do it right, I come back to, we have to meet people where they are, mentally, psychologically, and then in the whole change of ways of working. And I've been in business for 18 years. I'm doing things differently. I kind of thought I was going to ride off into the sunset, right? Not really, but I did not anticipate a monumental shift like this in the business world at this point in my career, right? So it also depends on where you're at in your career trajectory. I would imagine those entering the workforce right now won't know a world without AI. I anticipate I will never, ever interview for a job again where I'm not asked about my AI skills and my capabilities. Yeah. That's wild, right? So I guess to underscore and succinctly answer your question, I think AI is moving very fast, but I also think we have to have patience with it and its progress, and know that it may innovate like you're drinking from a fire hose, but rolling it out, because that was your question originally, has to be done responsibly and very intentionally in making sure that we are doing it in a way that will enable people to harness its power and not feel overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, that patience with it, with the people, with meeting people where they are and understanding. The other element is, these days, they're the multi-generations that are within businesses. People are going to have different interests in it, different abilities. Some people may learn it, adapt to it more quickly than others. So it's a really great point. And you made me think of this one where you were talking about an agreement took longer, the contract took you longer. Your hand is on the pulse of all of these things, the cutting edge of the cutting edge. So have you seen anything that's kind of blown your mind recently?
Oh, I did see something that blew my mind recently. So I mentioned VO earlier. Text to video generation is going to be a total game changer. But where this is a nuanced example, but we are starting to use synthetic audience panels for testing. So I know. So this is, we can give an AI tool, you know, our personas of our target audiences, and it can be up to the numbers infinite. that we can give it. And they will create AI generated simulations of real audiences and groups that are used for us to test creative content, messaging before we go to market, right? So instead of running, or as we previously did, go run human led and human populated focus groups, we can use synthetic panels to ask questions or test content with AI personas that mirror specific audience segments. So they're designed to reflect, we can craft it however we want. They're designed to reflect demographics, psychographics, purchase behavior, and more. There's so much we can do with tweaking it. And then, I mean, we get feedback on things in days, not weeks. We can test dozens of ideas across personas at once. We can refine our messaging, obviously, based on this, and it's all in real time, and there's no PII involved. It's an AI synthetic audience. There's not personal identities involved in it. So it allows us to test in a way that is rigorous and fast and at a lower cost and a much faster pace. So that is something that, I mean, you know, listen, I am also in my personal life, like, oh gosh, are the robots coming for us? It's the truth, right? Yeah. I mean, we all have that. I mean, we're talking about fear in adoption and work. I think there's a bigger conversation to be had that I am not at liberty to talk about as an Indeedian, about how we feel personally about what is the fear of not just replacement, but, you know, humanity, right? There are really big questions on the table right now. And so I think that has really blown my mind from a cost speed perspective and just efficacy. We found that we did A-B test synthetic audience panels versus fully traditionally led, and we found the results to be significantly accurate. I'll put it that way.
I was thinking the word came to my mind was shockingly accurate, but probably a bit of both. But it's probably a good place at this point in our conversation as we start to wrap this up that you said that, because even as you said that, my mind started meeting it with a bit of fear and a bit of, oh, what can that do? But then that's where I said earlier about, can it be empowerment or at the very least curiosity? So I'm saying that because if there's people in the audience who are hearing this, it's like, okay, if that was my first response, that, what is that going to mean? Then my brain went to like, okay, well, let's get curious about the upsides of those things. And if that frees you up from, you know, a ton of time spent in that, could that also free you up from some needless expenses or reduce expenses in one place? You can put that in another area of, you know, the campaign. You know, I don't know if that's the right thing, but that's what I go to, is shift into a thought, into the world of possibility and curiosity. Because as much as we want to say no to it or push it away or whatever, it's not going. It's like you're literally trying to hold off a dam, not happening.
Yeah, this isn't a fad. This is happening.
Happening, folks.
I love that you went there in your mind, because that's part of this, is remembering at the forefront that we have to shift our mindset. This isn't about something that's happening to us. It's about something we get to embrace and do. And it helps us do things both personally and professionally in a more efficient manner. It takes the mundane out of it. Leave that to your agent. Leave that to your personal assistant. How many times have we said in our personal lives, I wish I had an assistant? I mean, I don't have a nanny, but some people probably do. But have we said, I wish I had an assistant for my personal life, right? You do now. You know this story. I've told you. I bought a property recently without a real estate agent. ChatGPT gave me all the steps, all the right paperwork, deadlines, built it all, right? So this allows me to be freed up to do more. Well, for me personally, get my hands in the garden. Be more human, right?
Yeah, I love that.
The mindset shift is really, if you leverage these technologies, it allows you to actually lean in more into humanity and the things that drive us and fill our cups and all of that, right? And so I would say, be curious. You never know where it will take you. And allow AI to do the stuff that is the low-hanging fruit, so you can focus on humanity and your relationships with your coworkers, with your partners, with your friends, right? Like, that's the message. The message for me is embrace it and figure out how to make it work for you. You get to leverage this technology. It's not happening to you.
Oh, What a great way to end it. Thank you so much. Use it to dial up your own humanity. And I love that, to get deeper into that stuff, because that's truly what counts, what matters, right? So thank you so much. I appreciate all that you shared with us today. And I just appreciate you and the journey. So everybody have an awesome day. And I hope you enjoyed this session.
Thank you.
Yeah.